77201.
Avatar hits 1 billion. Has anybody out there gone to see the movie with the blue creatures that took James Cameron 15 years to make? Baby, it's cold out there. Some of the coldest temperatures on record set to hit the East and the Midwest. Even parts of the Southwest pretty cold. Don't know if we're going to get any good Florida oranges anymore with this deep freeze they're talking about even down there. It's wide open in the NFL playoffs, but did anybody nail the score? Some of the things, of course, we're going to be talking about in this first hour of America Tonight. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, welcome to the first show in 2010, this version of America Tonight. Yeah. A new year. If you had a bad 2009, who cares? Forget about it. It's in the past, baby. And how do we open the new year in our airports? Oh, I hate to say this because, boy, I bet there's a bunch of people who have been through the Newark airport. They had a massive problem at that airport, a huge security breach, so they had to go into that lockdown mode. Boy, it's a place where you don't want that to happen. It really is a small airport. So you just had hundreds of people jammed coming in and out of there. And this is what the deal was. Because, you know, in New York, you basically have three airports. You have Newark, you've got LaGuardia, and you have John F. Kennedy, JFK. So Newark, a lot of people go there because it's easy. You're just outside of the city. It's easy to get in and out, and a lot of times you get those cheaper flights. It seems to me like it's always jammed. So they were looking for a guy who walked through a screening checkpoint. Check this out. He went through an exit, the checkpoint exit, into that secure side of a terminal on Sunday night. So, hey, with everything that's happened, you had to immediately ground the flights. Nobody's leaving. The passengers had to be re-screened. Oh, just a nightmare. And more specifics, it happened at about 5:30. And all you could see was the guy going down this exit lane. So pretty much this is where Continental flies in and out of. They look at the surveillance tapes, they're trying to figure out who the guy is, and then really there wasn't any choice. They're scanning all over the place trying to figure out if they can find him, all this other stuff. So they have to take the passengers, they have to evacuate them from the terminal, they have to move them to the open side, they have to go through the screening again. They have to make sure every passenger boarding a plane tonight out of the terminal was fully screened. So it was bad. It was awful. I mean, honestly, if you've ever been to that airport, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And as of even an hour ago, the flights were done, couldn't get on flights, etc. And what a mess. And especially you think it's the holidays, so people were trapped. But here's what you have to ask yourself. As a result of what happened in Detroit, now it's going to be security times 10. And this is exactly the example of it. The FAA warned that due to the security breach and, of course, the weather conditions, the flights are delayed about 2 to 3 hours. Now, remember, they can't have any flights on the tarmac for 3 hours because if they do that, according to the new laws, it would cost them $27,000 plus a person on that flight if that were to happen. So they didn't have that situation, but they pulled them all back. And now the interesting thing is, as this happened, and I still haven't found the guy as far as I know, starting on Monday, all passengers on U.S. international flights, on U.S.-bound international flights, have to be subject to random screening. Apparently they weren't doing this. So you've got, as far as states that sponsor terrorism, that's how it's listed by the State Department, you have Cuba, Iran, Sudan, Syria, of course. And then the other countries whose passengers will get that enhanced screening would be the usual countries you would think. Afghanistan, Algeria, Iraq, Lebanon, Libya, Nigeria, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Somalia. And this all as a result of Abdullah Muttalib, the 23-year-old Nigerian who tried, let's face it, to set off an explosive device on that Northwest flight on Christmas Day. And, you know, he flat out is cooperating. I mean, he's blabbing all over the place. And maybe it's bragging, I don't know what, but they didn't have to do any waterboarding in this case. He flat out has said he received training and instructions from Al-Qaeda folks in Yemen. So we know that all eyes of the world are certainly on that part of the country. But, I mean, you know, here becomes the question. It's just like taking off the shoes and the liquid and everything else. I mean, are the airport pat-downs, are they effective? What is going to be effective, ultimately, to possibly nab somebody before they carry out the explosion of a plane, let's say, like he was intending to do? Some interesting comments on one of the Sunday shows, in fact, and we're going to let you hear one of the some of the thoughts of somebody who used to be in government and still is in government but held an interesting position before as to what should be happening at airports. Pretty controversial. Going down that path of profiling times 10. And then the Deputy National Security Advisor, John Brennan, who also did that Sunday swirl thing, that's what I call it when you go on with the talking heads on the tube, where he talked about the closure of the embassy in Yemen in the threats of the whole terror thing and you know, basically his thoughts on, as a whole, as to what's happened as a result and unfairly the way the president has been nailed for this for being too soft on terror. And he tells you why he thinks that's ridiculous that someone like Dick Cheney, the former VP, would be saying that he's, the current president is soft on terrorism. So we'll jump into that, too, as well. I mentioned some of the lighter fare. Sports was huge, obviously. You have big bowl games coming up. You had a few that unfolded. You have a playoff picture that's now complete, but I think it's pretty wide open. You had a couple of real big blowouts today. Green Bay just completely blowing Arizona off the map. The Cowboys blowing the Eagles out of the water, which that was our nail the score game. And did anyone nail the score? We'll tell you in the next couple of hours here on ATM. And then who didn't get into the playoffs and who made it into the playoffs? Because many of you, of course, are pro football fans, I know. And college football was fun to watch all the last games of some of the guys who will now go into the draft and, you know, basically just kick back and relax. I hope many of you had the chance to do that and usher out 2009 and get ready for 2010, because I think it's going to be a very interesting year, to say the least. Coming up next on the show, you're going to love this. For all you people who are confused about Facebook, don't understand it, don't understand the popularity of Facebook, or are just intrigued by the whole social networking thing, because everything is headed in this direction. People at work now, with all the Twittering and checking the emails and everything else, it becomes this deal with employers as to whether or not they should ban certain things, certain sites. And one of them is Facebook. A lot of people are finding themselves on the chopping block because they cannot help but go on Facebook 10 times a day. And that's a no-no for a lot of businesses. And we're not just talking about the lower end employees. We're talking about all the way up the ladder. So coming up next, we're going to talk to one of my favorite attorneys, Clint David. He's going to tell us what has now happened with Facebook as far as the law is concerned in the workplace. Stay with us here on ATN.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit purebulk.com. That's purebulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Hello. At OffTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OffTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
It's inspiring for many who are affected by the recent downturn of the economy.
I already knew a bit about foraging and edibles, but you take it to a whole new level.
A thousand thanks to you for all that great knowledge. It was empowering.
When I was in the Navy, I went through a couple of quick land survival classes.
Thank you for being an inspiration and for all the work that you do.
I really appreciate the depth and detail of the information.
Thank you so much.
Much love and respect to you from all of us here in the boonies.
Thanks again.
Knowledge is power, and that power brings peace.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at OfTheField.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
In 1965, this is the sound. One more time.
Well, what a way to usher in 2010 for Clint David. He was at that Cowboys game where they shellacked the Philadelphia Eagles. I can only imagine the view from the field because I think he's good friends with Jerry Jones and sits in one of those exclusive boxes. Hey, Clint, how are you?
Good evening, Kate. How are you tonight?
Were you partying with Jerry Jones?
I was not partying with Jerry. I wasn't sitting up with Emmett and Jerry up in the box. I was in the seats with the real fans enjoying my lifelong team shut out the Eagles. It was a great game.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. Well, a lot of people, as you can imagine, were all over Facebook, as they are at many sporting events, and when they're there, they can do it, and giving updates and the woohoos and what happens next and all that sort of stuff. And so there's fun ways you can certainly use Facebook, but for a lot of people, you know this, Clint, it's like an addiction. So in the workplace, you have people who are distracted, sometimes even in meetings, because they're on Facebook. As a lawyer who's dealt with things in the workplace, would you say that this is kind of risky for job security?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything about it. I mean, something that just really amazes me about Facebook and these other social networking sites that people use is they feel there's some sort of magic zone of privacy on these things. And that the things you post on Facebook is like writing in some sort of private diary that nobody's ever going to see. And just from a pure job security, from a pure self-protection point of view, the things that people put on their social networking sites can be sometimes just unbelievably stupid, things that can in really harm job security. Employers look at these things. HR directors look at these things. They post pictures from holiday parties that people have been terminated from. It's really amazing and absolutely, and it's addictive to boot.
Yeah, and so legally you can do that, right? You know, if someone, like, let's say had a bong and they were smoking pot off in the background, they didn't realize it, but they were tagged in a photo, and then I'm the HR director and I see this on, and I'm running a prestigious company and I see this with one of my employees, I would have a leg to stand on, right?
And there's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, in most states, I mean, they're at-will states, and you can terminate employees really for any or no reason other than for discriminatory ones. But there's no reason to hand your employer a club to beat you over the head with. And showing yourself in compromising positions, situations that show poor judgment, where your employer might otherwise be looking for a reason to cease the employment relationship anyway, it's just crazy. I mean, you need to go through your website, you need to go through these social networking sites and cleanse them of things that you would not want your employer to see. It's just common sense.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, the statistics that you're starting to hear about are crazy, like nearly three-quarters of employees think that social networking sites create some risk for their employer. And so even so, they still post all this content on the sites. And like you said, it's like they think it's their own personal diary, and they don't understand what it could mean for them, especially where people are losing jobs right and left. They have no idea what they're doing. How do you drum that into people's heads? I guess hearing shows like this one or hearing other things or reading about it. But I think people are just sick, Clint, and they don't get it.
I really don't think they do either. And the only thing you can do, and I think you're doing your listeners a huge service, is you've just got to think about the things that you post on these social networking sites, or pictures you allow to be taken of yourself that will be posted on others' social networking sites. You just have to be very, very cautious. And it's not just your employers that are looking at it. People need to think about future employers that may be looking at this, admissions counselors of undergraduate and graduate schools. I mean, people now routinely, as a part of their due diligence, go through social networking sites to look into the background of the people they're thinking of hiring or admitting or being partners with. You just got to be very cautious, because you take these things lightly, but I promise you, those other people that are looking to either do business with you or continue to employ you do not take it lightly.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword, because in a super uber creative field, if you were really clever and careful about what you posted, and I'm saying like in the arts, it could be a helpful tool to you. But on the other hand, in a lot of other professions, which is kind of the road we're going down, it's a no-no. So it just depends. Do you think that's right? It just depends on your point of view and what you do for a living?
Yes, I think so. I mean, obviously in some areas, look, if you use the network, if you use your Facebook in a creative way, it's a great way to expand your network. It's a great way to market. It's a great way to stay in touch. But like anything, you can have too much of a good thing. You've just got to, once again, just use your common sense and realize anything you post on there today will be around the planet tomorrow. And I just don't think people look at it that way. And I can't understand the psychology of why they don't. But they don't. They feel that it's their little private area, and I know others might be able to look at it, but they really shouldn't. And they take it, they think it's much more informal. And the only thing you can do is just tell people over and over again, there's some wonderful aspects of this, but you've got to proceed with all due caution, because I promise you, other people are looking at it and judging you by it.
So, Clint, if I ran a company and I was worried about, you know, I had some younger people that worked for me, some people in the middle, and then some veteran-type people, they might be smart then to just ban Facebook at work, just put out a policy, right?
You can, and you know whether or not they'll listen to it is a different matter. I mean, you may have heard that story. I'm sure it was a company in Fort Worth where the commissioner of a fantasy football league was terminated for spending some time on the fantasy football league at work. I mean, you know, employers can ban this just because they don't want their employer-furnished computers and time being used for socializing with friends. And they can absolutely ban this, and a lot of policies are being modified currently to do that, because they just don't want people burning up a bunch of company time using these social networking sites. So I think that you'll find more and more they're going going to tighten down on these things. They know how much time is being used and in some instances wasted by employees. So they may start tightening down, not so much for what you put on your Facebook site, but just by using it and how much time is wasted at work. Because people do. It's the first thing they do when they get to the office. It's the last thing they do when they leave, or right before they go to lunch. And there is a lot of time that is being inefficiently used, shall we say, on these Facebook sites.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, you know, you've done the courtroom drill. I wouldn't be surprised, and probably it's already happening in other areas, divorces, et cetera, or in other espionage-type deals, I think, in the workplace. It wouldn't be uncommon that you could use that as evidence, right, Facebook?
A great question, and not as an uncommon, but now it people are you know, using it extensively. People are using postings on whether it's Twitter or Facebook for libel charges, for slander. Mm. They're taking photographs from Facebook and using them against spouses in divorce proceedings.
Mm.
It has legal import, and it's like going into somebody's scrapbook or going into somebody's attic and finding old pictures and current pictures and statements that they've written and use them against them. And it does carry the import. It's admissible in a court of law, and it's being used more and more. Private investigators of law firms are using it. For example, insurance companies are hiring personal private investigators, finding people that are saying, you know, they're off work and collecting disability, and they're finding them out there playing golf and tennis and because they posted these pictures on their Facebook account. And they'll use that to seize insurance benefits. It is being used more and more in due diligence in courts of law, both inside and out, against the owner of these Facebook and social networking sites.
Mm. Clint, always fun to have you on the show. Thanks for the cautionary tale. And if you want to learn more about Clint, tell us your website.
It's cdavid@dgmlegal.com, www.dgmlegal.com.
All right, Clint, thanks for coming on America Tonight. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, it's always great being on. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, you're welcome. And you heard what he said. It's interesting how they can just boom, flip it up. Can you imagine? I mean, this will be just such a part of evidence, I think, and it already is, as he said. But I think in the future you'll see it even more. The scary thing is with the way cell phones are and the way people can take photographs and video and whatnot now, I mean, almost anywhere you go, it's like that Big Brother thing. We're always hammering the deal about the cameras being everywhere, which I hate, the stoplight cameras. I mean, not only do you have that to contend with, but you also have the people around you to contend with, because you just don't know when somebody might get you in a situation that looks worse than it is, if that makes any sense. But it's probably a good idea not to flip open those Facebooks until you are off the clock. All right, coming up on the flip side, we're going to talk about more about that security breach, the lockdown at the Newark airport, also what's happening around the globe in just a few minutes here on ATN.
How would you feel with normal blood pressure? How would you feel with a normal cholesterol reading without the drugs? What if you could avoid bypass surgery? Would it not be nice to have your heart beat regularly again? To have a sex life again? All these benefits and more can be yours when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. But please, don't take our word for it. Listen to what our customers say.
I've been on the Heart and Body Extract since 2006 and will remain on it for life. Thank you, Heart and Body Extract.
Read more of these amazing testimonials at hbextract.com. Your effective 100% organic herbal treatment for heart and body health is now available at hbextract.com. Get Heart and Body Extract at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5300. Look for free bonus 1213 at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract today.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for Ixquick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week StartPage challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days of StartPage and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's StartPage.com.
This is an emergency alert. People don't die of H1N1 infection. They die from system-wide intoxication and toxic shock. Doctors call it the cytokine storm following infection and immune hyperstimulation. Vaccines with immune stimulants or toxic drugs chemicalize your body, adding to your death risk. Prevent death and reverse diseases from infections, vaccinations, and drug toxicity. Call this number to get my free special report about the flu and what to do to save lives, maybe even your own. I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. Order Zeolite, the world's most powerful broad-spectrum detoxifier, immune system guard, and vaccine cleanse. Avoid vaccinations and drugs. Use Zeolite and OxySilver Hygrosol instead to detox and de-germ your body. Stop the shock of toxicity and preventable deaths. Call 1-888-KO-GERMS. That's 1-888-KO-GERMS. Or visit zeolife.net and oxysilver.net and order your free report and package special.
Tonight, we're just at the tippy top of the year. Do you believe it? There are 361 days left in the year. That's because we just rolled into 2010. What are some of the highlights? When we go back in our time machine for January 4th, we'll tell you about a bunch of them, including this one in 1896. Utah, that good old state, admitted as the 45th state in the Union. Also in 65, President Johnson outlined the goals of his great society in his State of the Union address, pretty famous one. Poet T.S. Eliot died in London, also at the age of 76. Coming up with birthdays, I'm predicting you're going to know at least five names on the list. That's pretty big for this obscure list that we often come up with. Actor Patrick Cassidy, do you know him? You probably know his more famous brother, David. Or actor Dave Foley, you might know him. He's been on a couple of shows that I've watched, including News Radio. Sound familiar? Maybe doesn't ring any bells. Probably you know Football Hall of Fame coach Don Shula, who was a longtime coach of the Miami Dolphins. He's celebrating a birthday. Anyway, that's coming up. We're not doing that just this second, but we'll get to this day in history and birthdays. Before we do that, a couple of interesting things along the way. Sadly, some of them, I have to say, including some news from Afghanistan that just broke an hour and a half or so ago. Four U.S. troops killed. It looks like a roadside bomb incident once again. So as we move into this next year, hoping to contain things in Afghanistan, not a great way to start off, to say the least. And, of course, we had the incident with the CIA folks, and some Canadians were killed as well, if you remember, including a journalist. That happened on New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, and some of the top folks in that area in the CIA were killed as a result, and a big, big, big loss for the CIA. And again, more importantly, relating this to what I'm talking about, Afghanistan, as the commitment to Afghanistan has certainly stepped up, and trying to work with the people and trying to work with their military and all that other sort of stuff. We're seeing that there were more than a few potholes along the way. And speaking of potholes, because of what's happening on the international stage, whether it's the Taliban or Al-Qaeda, because of the threats with Al-Qaeda, they shut down the United States and the UK embassies there, since the threats they were receiving were pretty serious about bombing potential. They felt in Washington the only thing they could do, and in London the same thing, was to close both of those embassies. So they did it on Sunday. And again, the United States is vowing to try to help however they can to smoke out whoever it is that's part of the Al-Qaeda sect that helped the 23-year-old Nigerian Abdullah Mutallab, giving him the training and the instructions and all that sort of stuff, because obviously they claimed that they were part of what happened, or what could have happened in Detroit. And Abdullah Mutallab is, of course, saying the same thing. So I mean, here you have this American embassy, which was attacked a couple of times in 2008, and now that they knew there was a very active Al-Qaeda threat and the ongoing threats that have been tied to it, they felt the only thing they could do was clear the people out of that area. In the meantime, over the weekend, General Petraeus, the U.S. general who, of course, oversees the overall guy, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, announced that Washington this year will more than double the $67 million in monies that it provided to Yemen in 2009. And Petraeus met with the Yemeni president to talk about coordination in the fight against Al-Qaeda, and felt like it was a good meeting between the two. But boy, you think of all this money, doubling that $67 million, and then, of course, what's happening in Afghanistan and what's happening in Iraq. You know, I'm a big fan of the unmanned drones. And the U.S. did provide intelligence and some other help to back Yemeni air and some of the ground assaults on Al-Qaeda last month. Remember, where they supposedly killed 60 people. And the Yemeni folks say that about 30 suspected militants were among those that were dead. So the U.S. has been doing some things in that area besides the drones, the surveillance, the training for the forces, and all that other sort of stuff, providing intelligence, helping to fund the helicopters and equipment. But there are no, of course, ground forces or even fighter aircraft in that area, and there is no thought of doing that at this point. The drones, it looks like that's where most of the aid is going to come in. And, you know, at this point, Al-Qaeda has killed a number of top security folks in the outlying provinces that I mentioned. The CIA one, of course, terrible. And the government there obviously doesn't have a lot of control over the country. It's mostly these tribes in these various areas who don't like the government or doing whatever they want. And they're giving, in some of these provinces, they're obviously helping some of the fighters, and they're helping others that come from Saudi Arabia or Iraq or Afghanistan. I think I said this once already here on America Tonight, Just as a reminder, Yemen is the homeland of Osama bin Laden and the site of the 2000 bombing of the USS Cole. They've never had a strong government, never, especially any authority beyond the capital. And in the battles with the fighters, they have rebellions in the north and the south, so this is not an easy spot to be in anyway. And what happened was, if you remember, there were assaults on that embassy that closed a couple of different times. The one attack was terrible. You had gunmen in two cars packed with explosives that attacked the embassy. 19 people were killed, including an 18-year-old American woman and six militants as well. And not, at that time, none of those that were killed or wounded were diplomats or embassy folks. And Al-Qaeda, of course, claimed responsibility for that one. So it's just too close for comfort to keep that embassy open. And although you wonder, in trying to combat Al-Qaeda on the ground there, it does make it difficult for some of the communications. While you do have some contact with intelligence folks, still, all in all, you have to figure that has to be one of the worst places for any Americans, and obviously any of the Brits either, to be on that soil, or they wouldn't have closed both of those spots, knowing that there was a good chance that something could happen there. All right, now that we're back to the beginning of the year, a new year, one can only imagine the conversation as to health care and the health bill and some of the other things that are supposed to be battled on verbally in our nation's capital. It's interesting because leading up to the holidays, remember, it was the push. We got to have the final vote, and we got to figure out, you know, how we can get this through. Well, of course, you look at this reform bill, and the fight is not over yet. Probably what's going to happen next is a legal challenge. That's already been discussed. So what happens there is you could challenge it maybe constitutionally and pick it up with the Supreme Court. And most likely, if you look at health care reform, and one of the things that was discussed a couple of weeks ago is the primary thing. I mean, if I was going to challenge this, what would I challenge? The very first thing, and one of the most ridiculous tenets, I think, of what's being proposed is the idea that you have to have health insurance or you have to pay a financial tax of some sort. You know, at least 2% of your income to the government if you refuse to get it. So I think that's what, that then it's probably what they're going to do. That's probably where the legal challenge would come in, most likely. What the thought is that people who don't get insurance from their employer, Medicare or Medicaid, this is a central thing that the Democrats are talking about, that basically the assumption is that it brings everyone into the national insurance pool. Don't the insurance companies make out like bandits on this whole thing, especially young people who don't have coverage? And they say, they, being the Democrats, say it'll reduce premiums across the board, but I don't think so. I think what you're going to see is the opposite. The insurance company gets all the power here, and if anything, the premiums probably across the board go higher for everything, as far as families, single, a couple, whatever. In the comparisons that keep being drawn are like requiring drivers to carry auto insurance, that it does the same thing. But you know what? Here's the deal. People live in cities. People decide not to get a car, and they take a bus instead. Even in the small area, there nobody says you have to have a car, and there are a lot of people, like I said, especially in urban areas, you see that. In Chicago, in New York, in San Francisco, name a big city, in Boston. A lot of people will do without it because it's too expensive to put them on the road in the first place. So I'll be curious as to what the Supremes would do in this case, but I guarantee you they'll take it to the courts, and that's probably the thing that would be challenged. So it'll be interesting as healthcare continues to roll into 2010, the debate anyway. Stay with us.
Our economy is in great distress. The financial dominoes can fall at any time. It's time to stop hoping it doesn't happen and prepare just in case it does. You have auto and home insurance. Why wouldn't you have food insurance? Are you prepared to feed your family long term? Because it might take years to recover. As the adult, it's your responsibility to feed your family, especially during rough times. SurvivalistSeeds.com is offering a package that will give you a 3-acre heirloom vegetable garden anywhere. 50 heirloom varieties, 8,000 vegetable seeds, over 5 pounds of healthy food. Don't be fooled by marketing companies disguised as patriots. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me radio show.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty, and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our family's health, are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
This. Apparently there's a new book that's coming out, and it's called How Warren Beatty Seduced America. And in this book, his attorney is saying there might be some false accusations in this, because in the book, supposedly, if you add up all the women that Warren Beatty slept with, it would amount to about 13,000 women. So he's married now, so obviously it's different. Annette Bening caught him when he was done with the 13,000 women, and he didn't deny that. But I think he's got 3 or 4 kids. I can't remember how many. But he must have, when did he sleep? When did the guy sleep? Isn't that crazy, Matt? 13,000 women.
It reminds me of, who was it, Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking of.
Well, and then Tiger Woods, the one woman said 10 times in one day. So, I mean, obviously there's men that can certainly partake. Wow, when I saw the 13,000, though, I thought, that's crazy. If you add up the amount of years, I mean, you have to wipe away the childhood years for whenever he started, and you add that up. That's a lot of days in a row, I think. There was no break in the action.
It's kind of weird because Warren Beatty doesn't strike me as that type of a guy.
Oh, I guess he used to be. If you go to like classic TV and you look at his Bonnie and Clyde days, he was the hot commodity, the Natalie Woods and whoever. I guess he was just smoking hot like some of these young stud actors now that they put as the sexiest man alive or whatever. Uh-huh. He was that guy. I mean, not to you and I, but if you go back, I guess he really was. And there's a song in a line in a Carly Simon song that says, "You're so vain," and blah, blah, blah. And supposedly that song was, and she won't confirm or deny it because she messed around with him, but apparently that song might have been written about him.
Oh, mystery revealed.
Yeah, if she won't confirm it, however.
Who was Dick Ebersol?
Mm-hmm.
Paid for the. She told him who it was about. He in some celebrity auction or some
right.
charity.
Right.
I remember hearing about that, but yeah, she won't reveal it to the public.
No, and most people think it is him, but there's no definites there. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's this. It's a whole different lifestyle. Oh, no, that's why my mother calls it the left coast. It's a whole different thing in California, and the celebrity really hasn't changed. There's something about that magnified air, and when you have you can have whatever you want. I think it makes people partake perhaps a little too much. I mean, whatever. 13,000 is a lot. It seems to me like a lot of women, leaving very little time to read those scripts, I guess. All right, I love this. Here's from News You Can't Abuse. You're going to love this story. And it's right here in near our satellite studio. Some lucky contest winner is going to get the chance to blow up Texas Stadium. I'm definitely going to apply for this. The city of Irving and Kraft Foods, what a brilliant promotion, say that it's a sponsorship deal where you get to implode the building, and it's an essay contest. The winner gets to pull the trigger that finishes off the iconic stadium. And they approve this, so, you know, they're going to announce how you can write the essay. I wonder if I'd have to write something nice about the Cowboys, so maybe I wouldn't get chosen. It was the home to the football team from 71 to 2008, and they're pulling it down either in March or April. I'd say that's some news you can abuse. Here's a good one, too, that I dug up from Long Beach, California. There's a guy named Travis Pastrana. He's claiming a new world car jump record, jumping with his car, no kidding, in a Subaru. It measured 269 feet. It breaks the old mark of 98 feet. The stuntman had a perfect flight from a pier in Long Beach to a barge anchored in the harbor. Oof. While the car sailed through the air perfectly, he ended up getting wet. After his landing, he did a backflip into the water, so that was okay. Boy, I'd be afraid to do that. Take a Subaru, and of course I'm not a stunt person, fly it off the pier. Wow. Here's an interesting story as well from Frederick, Maryland. Some politicians are worried about airing their dirty laundry. That could apply to almost any of them, right? But one Maryland lawmaker is concerned about the clean laundry. Check this out. State Delegate Galen Claggett feels that homeowners should be able to dry their clothes on clotheslines. He's going to reintroduce a bill this year forbidding homeowners associations from banning clotheslines. His bill, of course, died in committee during the last session. Advocates of air drying say it saves energy. Other people think it's an eyesore. They don't like the clotheslines. That's something from a long time ago. Buy a dryer. Why can't people have clotheslines up? Does anyone think that's an ugly eyesore? I don't know. I'm missing something here. From Spokane, Washington, we have people that listen to us in the great state of Washington, in Spokane, in fact. A tiny gallon isn't tiny. He's more than a gallon. Apparently, the Oklahoma freshman went up for an alley-oop in a basketball game at Gonzaga the other night. He missed the ball. Somebody told me about this, but grabbed the front of the rim with both hands, Check it out. This sounds weird, but I love these kind of highlights. The force shattered the glass backboard. Players and some fans were showered with glass. The game in Washington State had to be delayed. Workers cleaned up the mess and replaced the backboard. Tiny is 6'9". He weighs 296 pounds. And apparently he's pretty big at birth. Weighed over 12 pounds. And he was 360 pounds in ninth grade before he slimmed down. Anyway, Gonzaga went on to beat Oklahoma 83-69. Have you ever been hit by a shattered backboard, Matt? I'm thinking probably not.
No, I don't ball with Shaquille O'Neal like you do, apparently.
I'm just saying I think it's a cool highlight when you see that. I've never seen it happen in person, but it's just weird when somebody shatters the backboard and you see the stunned faces in the crowd.
Yeah, but then also then the game's delayed for about a half hour while they
have to clean it up
and get another backboard up.
That's true. It's no fun if you're there and you just want the game to move along. I agree with that.
Right.
It's a good highlight, though. It's a good ESPN, Fox highlight for sure. I mentioned this before, there are 361 days left in the year. It is January 4th. Here's a couple of other ones for you. I gave you some before. In 74, President Nixon refused to hand over tape recordings and documents subpoenaed by the Senate Watergate Committee. In 1990, oh, I remember this story, Charles Stewart claimed to have been wounded and his pregnant wife shot dead by a robber. He ended up leaping to his death off of a Boston bridge after he became a suspect. He killed his wife, and he was claiming a black man. He was describing a black man, and boy, that had Boston up in arms. In 2007, Nancy Pelosi was elected the first female Speaker of the House as Democrats took control of Congress. Wow, do you believe it's been that many years ago now? That's what happens, 2010, when we rolled over, for sure. 1 year ago, New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson announced he was withdrawing his nomination to be President-elect Barack Obama's Commerce Secretary amid a grand jury investigation into how some of his political donors had won a lucrative state contract. They didn't bring charges against him, the prosecutors, later, but I heard they had some pretty good stuff on him. All right, let's head to the birthdays. How about some music, please?
I need birthday singers! Come on, people, we need birthday singers!
All right, let's see how many of these you recognize. I already mentioned Don Shula. He's turning 80. That's a milestone birthday. Also celebrating a birthday. You see her sometimes on NBC on shows. I think she's great. She's a historian. Doris Kearns Goodwin, 67 years old. Also celebrating a birthday, Michael Stipe from REM is 50 years old. Wow. Patrick Cassidy, the unfamous brother from, David Cassidy, the whole lot of them, 48 years old. Dave Foley is 47. Julia Orman is 45. Guy Forget, I'm a big tennis fan, so I know him, 45 years old. Also, actress-singer Jill Marie Jones is 35. Make it count, everybody.
Okay, show's over, folks. Bye-bye. Let's move. Bye-bye. Let's pick this thing up. Let's go for it.
Stop.
One, two, three. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for flying with us. Bye-bye.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Bye-bye.
I don't get it.
There's nothing to get. Bye-bye.
And we'll see you tomorrow night.